Let's stand.
Light of the world, you come down into my open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this moment of you. Open my eyes and with you.
So here I.
There must be more than this. Oh. for us.
We couldn't do for ourselves. We still can't. We can't save ourselves. Only Jesus.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Speak it out. Speak it out, Doug. Grace is enough. His grace is enough. Wow. Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need to be heard, but to hear what you would say, word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay in your holiness, word of God. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, your word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay around in your home. Word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes, your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place, to be still in your holiness. Pray that you would just be in this place, that you would open our hearts, open our minds, Lord God, to hear you this morning, to hear you. Take away all the junk of the week, all the stuff that we have a tendency to pick back up again, Lord God. Help us to drop it at the foot of the cross, just to spend some time at your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank
you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Someone you don't know.
Testing, testing. There we go. Amen. 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 Oh, there you go.
Hello.
Okay. Hello. 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 Can't hear me, eh?
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Maybe I'll just use this one.
Testing, testing. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Tim. Amen. Just want to make a couple announcements here this morning. I don't know if some of you folks aren't aware of Lift Up Red Deer. It's a prayer initiative started by Pat Hamill, originally started by God. God is using Pat Hamill as the instrument. So this coming Thursday, 7 p.m., at the Westerner Grounds at the Harvest Center, we're going to have prayer for lifting up Red Deer in Central Alberta. Amen? I really believe it's making a change. Amen? There's little things that are happening in people's lives, and there seems to be more openness. So I really believe our prayers are becoming more effective. Amen? And as we gather together and in unity, amen? So praise God for that. The church service on July 19th, we had about 2,500 people show up. And next year, there's some other churches that are going to be shutting down for that service. So we're going to be planning up. planning it come next month. Start the planning. Amen. The other thing I want to make us aware of is we're having a baptism next month. Down at the river. So anybody who wants to be baptized, just let myself know or Pastor Stan. Okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. Just want to just open in prayer right now. Lord God, I just pray that you would capture our hearts, our attention right now in Jesus' mighty name. We, Lord God, resist the enemy, all his devices, all his plans, all his purposes against us right now in Jesus' mighty name. Devil, you're a liar. You have no place in this place any longer in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And Lord God, we declare that this is holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we've come to hear from God, Lord God. God Almighty, the creator of the whole universe, Lord God. We want to hear from you this morning, oh God. So open up our hearts, open up our ears to hear what you're saying to us. Hallelujah. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, Lord God. So I just thank you, Lord God. There's reverence for you, oh God, in this place right now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. So having said that, prayed that, I just want to invite my brother Kelly up. We're going to just give him opportunity to share what God has laid upon his heart for us this morning. Just met Kelly maybe just in June, I guess it was, we're really getting connected in the spiritual realm. All of us here, hallelujah, need to get connected, you know, with the Holy Spirit and pray and seek his face, because there's things coming down the road that are on the road right now that we're experiencing, amen? And so as we pray, so we go. If we don't pray, it's very obvious. Amen? So I encourage us all here, you know, develop prayers. Pray in the morning. Pray in the evening. Pray as you're walking. It doesn't matter. Amen. But pray. Pray, pray, pray. Amen? Kelly Rowe. Here he is.
All right. Thank you. Well, thanks for the prayers, and Alvin. And my heart today is that the Lord, through this testimony, you know, the power of the overcomer comes through the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. So I'm going to share some of my horror story along the way. And, I believe God lifted the veil of darkness, right? He brought me, like that song today, out of the kingdom of darkness, he planted me in his marvelous light. And I believe there's a lot of us that are still hanging in the shadow. Like, we've left the kingdom of darkness, but we haven't embraced the marvelous light. And we're living in this shadow and looking at the people in the light and looking at that darkness, and we're kind of like, boy, both are kind of scary because the awe of God, right? It's an awesome God we serve, and he is powerful, but when you stand in his marvelous light, you are naked and beyond belief. But I believe God wants to lift that veil of darkness today again. Remove the darkness is my prayer, Lord, like you did for me, Lord. Take away that veil. Show us the marvelous light. Show us your awesome wonders today here. Bring us into that light even deeper, Lord. Let us go deeper into you. Lord, take away the doubts and the fears of your people and the anxieties and the stresses and the worries, that they can embrace you fully today, Lord, and walk in your light. You know, the devil is a powerful force, but when you put him beside God, he's nothing. Right? He's nothing. He's absolutely nothing. And that's the kind of the message I want to leave today, is that you can walk in strength and power in the light. And the darkness cannot overcome it. Right? It can't overcome it. The devil wants to make us think that we can. And he prowls around and he seeks around. And there's, in Ephesians, it says there's these spiritual forces at work. Right? And we need to pray against those. But we're not supposed to be at war in flesh and blood, but war against those principalities. So that's kind of my testimony. Is I 7 years ago, I came to the Lord. 7 years in October. 6 years I've been in the inner city. By the grace of God, go I. With no idea what the inner city was, but I've walked in that darkness for 6 years in victory. But I know who God is. But I also know who the enemy is, right? And I don't fear him. I walk into his lair every day and start taking things apart. Right? I bring that victory, right? I come with that understanding that I'm to go and take land back. I'm supposed to take bricks out of his wall. He's trying to wall me in, but I'm taking, those walls are down, and now I'm taking down his walls, right, around others, right? But there's come, it's from Revelation, it's through the power of my testimony, so I'll start from the beginning, man. I was raised here in Red Deer. This is my first time back. This is nice, a little static. Devil's trying to interrupt me already. It's tough luck. He knows there's no chance he's going to interfere today. And, you know, I grew up here. I didn't have any clue about the Bible or church. I wasn't into it. My cathedral was the sports arena, right? Every Sunday I was on a ski hill, a ball diamond, a hockey rink, football field, you name it, I did it. And I loved it. But it didn't give me any eternal value or life, right? But I sunk myself into all of that stuff, and I was walking through life proud of myself, right? Building my own kingdoms and things. But when I was a kid, the supernatural came to me. I was in my bedroom as a young boy in a house in Morrisville, living in a basement, you know, I was in the basement bedroom, and the mighty God of this universe would come into my room to introduce himself to me. But, you know, I had a father who was, you know, he was distant emotionally, but I respected him, you know, I feared him, you know, I knew he was all-powerful in my life. But when I looked at, when God would have come to me, it was the same feeling. I didn't have a good relationship with him. I was in awe of him, total in fear. It was like a Fred Flintstone moment when he shrunk down to nothing and sat in front of his boss, if any of you watched the Flintstones, and felt like nothing when his boss was giving. So that's how I felt. God would come into my room, and I was like, whoop, little Kelly in his bed would shrink down, and Almighty God would expand this room in his enormity. But how do I relate to this? You know, thanks for introducing yourself, but I'm just laying here in fear and trembling, not knowing what to do. So this is kind of how it grew. I knew there was a God. Right? But I didn't know how to relate to him. As I grew older and got caught up more in myself, you know, I got into college, and then I really wanted to start to really chase after the women and the partying and the booze and all that stuff, and I thought that was the fun of the world. And this God would loom over me. And I knew what I was doing wasn't right. You know, just in my own heart. I didn't know it was written in Scripture or any of that, but I knew in my own heart, right? Because God's spirit lives in us, right? He's the spirit of life. And I told God, no, I don't want another dad. I don't need another guide. I'm a man now, full of myself, unfortunately, that I can do this on my own. You've gifted me. You've given me the ability. I'm going to graduate college. There's no doubt in my mind I can get a job and I can be successful and I can do all these great things. But I don't need some father looming over me, so thanks for the help. I'll call you if I need you. And God stepped back, right? He's gracious. His grace is enough. We can choose. The choices we make every day are huge, and I didn't think that choice is going to really be that big a deal. I just thought, good, I can just get on with my own thing, and, you know, I don't need this looming feeling that someone's always watching me. Right? And off I went. And I'm telling you, from that age on, it was probably I was 19 or 20 at that point. From there till 40, I got into everything and anything. And the lust of my heart and the lust of the flesh led me. I was successful in the world. Right? I had the job. I had the girlfriend. I had the success. I was winning in my sporting stuff, you know. But there were days, man, when I sat on a Sunday night after I partied and played and did all my things and glorified myself, and I'd sit Sunday alone and even sometimes with a girlfriend, you know, would be asleep already. And I think, what is the point? What's the purpose? What, so I can be hungover on Monday, drag my butt around work mopey till Wednesday, and then think, well, it's almost Friday, and then live like a roaring, you know, entity all weekend, forgetting any cares of the world, but and thinking that's when I'm alive, but yet Sunday night I'm exhausted, I'm broken, I'm lonely, I'm empty, I don't know why I'm here. And that became the desire of my heart. Well, I need to figure something out, right? This ain't working. How long can I live in this cycle? It was like a spin cycle. How long can I do this? Well, in the middle of this, I ended up really into spiritual darkness. I didn't know I was, you know, I didn't know. The desperation in my heart, just I tried to fill it with other stuff. I went on a houseboat trip. And, well, before that, actually, there was an awakening I had in a movie theater. I went to this movie called Fallen by Denzel Washington. And in that movie, there was a demonic force working against this police officer. And it kept chasing him around, and it could pass itself through people. And I was having another Fred Flintstone, Kelly Rowe, This Is Your Life moment. I was watching this movie, and I'm telling you, I had a date with me that I just started dating this girl. And my heart was in my throat. It was in my gut. It was like I didn't know what to think. I was like at times thinking, do I need to take notes? Like, I need to remember something. Like, if this is coming after me, like, it felt like this whole thing was on display for me to understand that this is coming. This is your life. This isn't just a movie for you. And it was terrifying. Even when I left the theater, I was like, I was shaking so bad I had to sit in the car. I couldn't even drive my vehicle for 15, 20 minutes. And I talked to the girl who was with me. I said, what do you think of the movie? And she's like, well, it was okay. I'm like, okay. Right. It was like a life experience for me. I said, I can't even, you know, she's looking at me like, wow, like, you know, freaked out a bit. And I'm like, I said, and in the end, the devil won in this movie. The demon walks away the victor. I'm like, what kind of story is this? This is my life? Whew. Well, boy, this would have been probably anywhere between, somewhere around 8 or 10 years later, I'm on this houseboat trip. And the whole day was just, wow, I didn't even want to go on this thing. These buddies kept begging me. These three friends kept phoning me and badgering me, come, come. And finally, I just relented and said, okay, fine, I'll go on your dumb houseboat trip. Like, I didn't even really want to go. But the first day was the wildest day I'd seen probably in a long time, or in, you know, it was crazy what they were doing on this houseboat trip. Well, at the end of the first day, I went through this horrific experience. I got separated from everybody, you know, and a ride almost broke out on this boat. I had to jump out of the back of the boat into the lake to get away, kind of thing. Yeah, swimming away. And I got back to our houseboat kind of like, whoa, like this is only day one. Like, we've got a few more days of this to go. This is crazy. And they started filtering back in. Well, you know, my buddies, the three buddies came on the boat. The other guys on the boat were all their friends. I didn't know them. So I was kind of, it was a weird trip. And these three buddies start talking to me, and things start getting strange. One of my friends, who's quite shy, all of a sudden he's strutting around and shirt off and, you know, way out of character. And I'm looking at him like, this isn't you. Like, what's going on here? And then I saw it. There was this entity swimming around in his eyes as he would look at me. And it was like he was looking right through me. And I could see this spirit swimming in his eyes. And I thought, whoa. I mean, I went right back to that movie theater. I thought, oh, my God, here we go. This is it. Kelly Rowe, this is your life. And as he was talking to me, he started talking to me about, you know, you're not on this trip for just a houseboat. This isn't just about houseboating. You know, this is about the eternal realm. This is about what's real and what isn't real. This is about where you're headed. And I'm telling you, I went dead frozen. My heart was in my gut. If I could, I couldn't get up and run. I was petrified. And in my head, all I could think was, oh, God, you better be watching this. I don't even know what's going on here, but it was like, I'm not in Kansas anymore. And as this, they started explaining what was really going on, my buddy's face was morphing. And horns were poking up. And, you know, he was getting hairier. And it was like, this is a trip. Right? And I looked over at the other two guys who were sitting kind of off to the side. And I just kept looking at them like thinking, what is going on? And I could see the same thing swimming in their eyes. And they just kept nodding over and pointing over, not saying a word. And I could tell this guy's in charge. Right? And he started talking to me about the eternal truths, that the eternal realm is the real realm, that this world you're living in is passing. I didn't know any of this stuff. He's telling me biblical truth later, I would find out. And your soul is what we're after. This is all about where you're headed. You think God loves you? Look at yourself. What do you do every day? What's your desires of your heart? You're like with us. This is what we do. This is how we orchestrate things. This is how we control people. This whole weekend, this lake, these houseboats, this is all under our authority. What you've been doing all day is with us. You've been hanging out with us. What's the point of going back? You know, they were telling me even some of the thoughts and desires that I had. What's the point of getting up Monday morning? You don't want to really go to work. You're done here. Just join us. We got jobs. You know, it's not going to be shoveling coal. You can come out and help us mislead and take people on rides and you know, sex, drugs, drinking, all the stuff you desire to do. It's right here available. Just come. And I'm like sitting there. I did not know what to do. I'm in my head, oh God, I don't want to die. This can't be the end. Part of me thought I'd already died. I thought even if I don't agree, are they just going to grab me by the feet and throw me in the furnace? You know, and they said, but this is a choice you've got today. This is a choice you can make today. And I'm like, what are they going to do? Just fire my body in the drink? Would my friends and family be that surprised Kelly Rowe drowned on a houseboat party? No. No way. I'm like, I'm at a crossroads. I might even be dead, I'm thinking. And all I can think is, oh God, oh God, oh God. I'd never prayed in my life, right? Hadn't prayed a prayer probably at that point. But I'm like, oh, you better be, I need an out. You got to show me a way. Show me, I will change. I'll do anything, right? And they were telling me the absolute truth, but there was something in them that thought they could take me, and I believe it's that God gave them the idea that this was my moment, but for me, it was my moment, right? To know the truth, that there is a spiritual force standing out against us, that the evils of the world have nothing to do with the almighty loving God. And we blame him all the time. The double entendre. The devil does it and then stands back and says, look what God did. Oh, how could God let this happen? Oh, and those starving kids. And oh, look at this. What about nuclear war and the bombs that we built? How could God let that happen? But it's just the men and women like myself that were just following that darkness. Walking in corruption. Getting their souls darker and wickeder. And that was the story of my life. I just kept getting darker and more lost, right? So eventually what happens, this guy's not taking no for an answer, and he's getting madder and he's growing. By the end of it, you couldn't even recognize there was no friend there anymore. This was just a straight demon standing there. I couldn't even recognize my buddy that was started out. And they'd open up the curtains on the houseboat, and all the houseboats were gone. The light was gone. It was absolute blackness out the windows. I couldn't see a thing. And they were like, you know, this is what we're talking about. This is the eternal. And eventually, I looked at the other two guys all the time, looking for a glimmer of hope. And finally, one of the other two guys turns and says to him, I told you he wasn't ready. And that head guy grew to about 12 feet and just screamed in the face of this other guy, right? Because they'd broke rank. And I knew in that minute, that was my out. I had to agree. It was my choice. They couldn't take me against my will, right? But it was my choice. And I was like, oh, thank you, God. Now I just had to work up the courage to say no to these things. I still was terrified. And the head guy just turned, and that was it. He knew something had happened. That guy breaking rank, he said, okay, that's it. You make the decision right now. And blah, 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 or we will never leave you. We'll keep coming, and we're going to torment you the rest of your life, and you will end up in the pit, and then you will be shoveling coal, because this deal is for now and now only. It's now or now only. You can have all this with us, and blah. I'm like, you're a liar. How am I? I'm going to put my faith in that? You could still shovel me down into the basement. I could agree to all this and get nothing. I said, who makes a deal with the devil? And there's people that have done it in those same moments because the fear and the terror Man, it was incredible. But finally, I said, I don't want to go. I want to live. I want to go back. I want to be alive. And that was it. And they just kept warning me that it would never happen. I'd make mistakes and they'd be back. And two times after that, it happened. I won't get into all of it because I don't want to take the whole day here. But the third time it happened, it was through one of my sister's friends. Same thing, right? These people had no idea this had happened. I grilled these three guys all weekend trying to get a glimmer of they remember anything that was done or said over this 25-minute, half-hour episode. They remember nothing. And this demon was coming after me through one of my sister's friends. And it was the same thing. They'd come at a low point, and I thought, what a bunch of chicken Fs, right? Blah, 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 right in my mind. And this demon was manifesting as it came down the stairs through my sister's friend, but it didn't know. And I thought, well, let's see if this thing can read my mind. These are important things to know. I got indignant. I thought, I'm not letting this happen again. I'm not going to just sit here and be in fear. I'm going to learn something. And my sister's friend sat down, but it wasn't even her. The thing was hiding in her and trying to talk to me and get me to go to bed with it, right? And I said, well, I just talked to her like it was her, talked to her like it was her, waiting to see, can this thing know? Does it know that I know it's here, or is it just dumb to my thoughts, right? And it had no idea. The demon had no idea. I finally just said, look, I don't know what you're doing here. I don't know who you think you are, but I know who I'm talking to, and it's not Denise. And that thing manifested out of her almost immediately into about 12 feet, and I stood right up out of my chair and took this demon on. I just said, you know what? I said, this ain't happening today. You know, I can see you coming. You're the one heading back. Don't even make me any offers. This is garbage. You're a chicken. You don't even stand up. You want to talk, come talk like a man. And this demon hissed and screamed. Same thing. We're never going to leave you alone. We're after you. You're going to make mistakes, and you're a dead man. You're a dead man. You're a dead man walking. And it hissed and cussed and went all the way back up the stairs, and down comes my sister's friend like nothing's happened. I took off. But what had happened there is I got left in my pride. I drove home that day thinking, well, I can take care of my own business again. Right? I can see them coming. They can't touch me. And I quit praying. I quit anything and just drifted back asleep in my pride. And I never once saw a demon manifest again until I was in the mission working for the Lord. They backed right off. So they've got all kinds of schemes, right? But this is the forces we're facing. If you start to think about those other voices in your head and start to identify them, capture every thought to the Lord, you'll start to deliver yourself from these demons that have held you captive, that put this anxiety and this fear in your heart, right? This is what it's about. If you want to get out there and help other people, and you want to get out there and do the Lord's work, you got to take your own kingdom first, right? You need the revelations. You need to know that this is it. No, this isn't just doubt in my mind. This is the devil working his forces against me to put me in a corner, back against the wall in fear, so I can't walk out my destiny. The devil is trying to back you up in a corner, and if he can get you isolated, even better, and keep you in your little prison, right? But the revelation is this. That roaring lion, that demon, that same thing that was in front of me, it could be a dragon. You picture your demon however you picture it. Your cage, when you get to know Jesus, it's open. But you have to walk out. You have to stand up, put on your armor, and say, I'm going forward. I'm walking right past you, devil. In fact, you're under my feet. So if I got to walk right over top of you, I'm going to do it. But I'm not living in my prison. It could be a cell for some people are actually in jail. Some people are in addiction. You know, there's many prisons, fear and doubt, unbelief. But it's time to walk out, right? I didn't come to the Lord that day, but I knew there was a force against me. And I've, you know, people are like, how did you just go whoomp, whoomp, one to the other? Like, you were a sports broadcaster in Kamloops. Now you're running the mission. How does that happen? You know, you were doing this, and now you're doing that. My sister said to me, she's been in social work forever, Kel, I've never seen anybody change like this. I've never seen anybody change. And I said, it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. I know the Almighty. But I also have the advantage of knowing my enemy. First girl I talked to, God led me out. You know, I'd love to share again. I got to shut her down here, I think, and let things move on. But sometimes I'd like to share where it went from here and how I became, you know, a man of God from that. Because I was still stuck in my pride then, right? I was still hung out to dry. I had no clue. It took years again for me to go turn to the Lord. He had to empty me out again in different ways, right, to get me to say, okay, now maybe you need to know me. Isn't the key knowing God? Not just walking around in pride, right? But he, you know, he transformed me into this marvelous light. But it was the strength of knowing. When I come and get up in the morning, I know what I'm doing. I know who I'm facing. I don't pretend I'm just going to go through a day and just do my worldly stuff. I know when I step my foot out of my bed, I'm on mission. I'm in a war. I'm battling for my freedom and the freedom of my family and the freedom of the people around me and the people that I get to know through the streets or wherever God puts me. I'm a freedom fighter. And I better have my helmet on, my breastplate. I better have my word. I better be reading my Bible. I better be hanging out with some Christians with like-minded spirits and understanding, right? I better be on my knees singing my tunes, you know, because the transformation's all in his hands. It's in his hands. If I'm in his hands, if I'm at his feet, right? And that's a daily walk. It's a daily walk. But once you walk out of that prison, you walk past that dragon, that lion, however you picture him, that liar. The first moment I had to picture this was reading the book of Romans, Romans 1. When I read Paul in the Bible, I was like, whoa. My heart came alive when I heard about this guy, the turnaround, the Damascus Road experience, right? And then when I read his writing, the first chapter, I had the veil removed. God removed it. He showed me my heart, wicked, deceitful. You know, the first chapter of Romans, Paul lays it out. Here's who I was. Here's who man is. Here's what he's not without God. Here he is born into this marvelous, beautiful world created by the Almighty, just so we'll worship him, and yet he does all his own stuff in all his own darkness and wickedness and doesn't even give me even any recognition. This is man's heart, and that's exactly what the devil told me. He said, that's who you are. You think God loves you? But when I read that, it revealed who I was. And I accepted that. I'm like, wow. And it was like the veil got lifted. The Bible came alive in the spirit. I couldn't even hardly read it. I had to keep going, God, I'm just trying to read your book. And it would morph up. And I'm like, oh, my Lord. It was the same as watching those demons manifest. The spirit of God is in that word. And it's connecting to me. And it tore the veil. And there he was, the almighty, beautiful God in all his splendor and grandeur. And I'm like, oh, you're so awesome. And you still love me? Look at me, I'm a mess. And then I looked over and there's this little scrawny, little bony, little demon looking at me. And all, it's the devil and he's nothing. And I'm like, I'm following that? I'm following that. That's where my heart goes every day. I'm running after him. What a fool am I? And when I read Proverbs, every time the word fool came up, I'm like, yep, been there. Yep, done that one. Holy mackerel. Yep, the Bible's reading my mail. It's reading my mail. I'm like, this is unbelievable. But once I saw that, I thought, man, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how it's going to happen. I'm in too much awe and wonder and shame and whoa, to even know how I'm going to get there. But boy, oh boy, I'm changing some things here. This has got to go. This little scrawny little thing's got to go. Right? But I had those experiences, right, where I knew I had some authority even without Jesus. He stood beside me or an angel or something protected me when I stood up to the devil that day. But I knew I knew he was defeated, and I hadn't even really figured out anything yet. But I knew who my answer was. And then it was a growth journey in him, right? It's all about growing in his spirit, his power, his love. And throw yourself in over your head, and guess what? You lose sight of him. When you truly are focusing on God and in awe and wonder serving Him and just trying to figure Him out, and you're immersed in this world that's so far supernaturally and beyond anything you imagine, the beauty and love, and how's the devil get your attention? He can't. He's like miles away, but he's still trying to get in your head. He's still trying to get through others at you. He's still trying to throw out the old traps. Still bringing by the women and the booze and the parties and everything, right? And we just sometimes fall apart and step back into that shadow. So that's the call for today, is just start looking at the shadow you're living in. If you don't feel like you're fully alive in the God, in the Lord of the Almighty, then you start looking at what's drawing me into the shadow. What in my life do I have to throw some light on? Where do I need light to shine in me? Right? Me, it's always the pride of life, man. Kelly Rowe can start thinking he's wonderful again. Almighty, powerful. I'm the best Christian that ever lived. Right? That's what it's like. That's the trap. The devil comes and he loves shame, pain, suffering. And when that don't work, when you're free of shame, pain, you've walked past that dragon, then he just switches his game and comes over and says, wow, you are pretty special, aren't you? Imagine if every Christian did what you're doing. Imagine if every Christian, Kelly, then we'd have something going, boy, look at those people around you. They're so sorried. Wow. If everybody was walking, and then you're off down, then God, you're back in the dark. And you're living in that shadow again. And you're looking at everybody with judgment, and the devil's got you. But he's a game player. You got to figure out the game. Capture every thought, discern those voices, and start identifying them. Lie. That's fear. Oh, anxiety. And the light comes on, and there's that little scrawny devil. Oh, shoot. I got to go figure something else out. I'll come back with lust. Oh, he sees me again. And this is the game. It's hard for us, right? We're so physically engaged. The supernatural is more real than the natural. This world is coming and going, but God's kingdom reigns forever, right? And the devil knows his fate is the pit of hell. But he's so damn deluded. He's so twisted. He still thinks he can somehow out-dethrone and outthink God, right? That's where we got to start thinking. That's the father of lies. So just start shining some light in those areas. When you're sitting around like today, I mean, yesterday was a day, man, I got up yesterday and I don't know what was going on. I just felt hopeless. I did. I sat around and I'm like, oh, man, is it ever going to change? How come this and how come that, God? And then I went over to my brother Chad's and had a wonderful morning and spent some time in fellowship and looked at his beautiful property and thought, wow, how could I be hopeless? Right? How could I be hopeless? Look at how beautiful. God's done all these wonderful things. Like, and that's the power of the testimony, right? I got to sit and look at what one man's doing and see what he's got going on and what God's blessed him with. So look at your blessings. Start looking at the blessings and saying, I'm just going to, whatever these blessings are, I'm going to be thankful. Whatever these lies are, I'm going to reject. I'm going to get this thing cleaned up. And I'm going to start walking in that light. Because, man, oh, man, there's so much power, right? It's unending. Everything's so unending in God. I just always feel like such a little child when I'm really, truly humbled in his presence. I feel like such a little child and think, whoa, what would I do without you? Where would I be? So, Lord, just thank you for this time. Just keep shining that light on us, Lord. That light of healing, that light of love, that glory light, Lord, that we can walk this out shining and vibrant and radiant. And most of all, Lord, shine that light on the devil. Shine that light on those areas that we're misled. Show us now, Lord, today. Just haunt us. Convict us of our darkened minds, Lord, the carnal, the flesh. Show us where we're still hung up. Lord, thank you that you humble me every day. Lord, thank you that, you know, even though I was of the most proud, Lord, when I'm humbled, I'm strong.
Lord, when you take that weakness of pride, it becomes your strength if I'll surrender it. So show us where our weaknesses are, Lord, but show us how we can live in those when you operate in them. Lord, there's so many gifted people in this church. I just look around and think of it, Lord, how many gifted people we have, how many people that are hungry, how many people that are longing. Lord, just fill those every desires with your love. Reveal yourself to us in new ways over these days, Lord. Prepare us for this end time battle. Prepare us, Lord, to be strong. No matter what the devil throws in our face, we come out and walk in your marvelous light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. I've been sensing from this morning, I had morning devotion, and I've just been sensing there's some people here going to need some prayer this morning. We're going to invite our brother Paul in up, but you've been struggling. There's some areas in your lives you've been struggling. It's no accident that our brother Kelly talked about what he talked about this morning, okay? And these spirits, they're very real. They're very real. I've had encounters with these things, and they've kept me in bondage for many years. But I want to tell you about someone who's greater. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ and the blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, can set you free and deliver you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Hallelujah. We're not going to walk. We don't need to walk around in fear and trembling from this devil. Hallelujah. Yes, he's powerful. Yes, he's got cohorts and all that. But I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The power of Jesus and the power of his name. I've seen devils manifest, and you can see those filthy things crawl out and leave that person. That's the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And if you're not there yet, if you're not there, you're afraid, you're having these things manifest in your bedroom, you know, at night, underneath the bed or whatever, hallelujah, you need prayer. Hallelujah, you need prayer. We've gone into houses where these things were manifesting. People were seeing them all over. And you bring things into your place that ought not to be in your place, in your room. You're a Christian. You ought not to have those types of things in your house. You can have porn books underneath the bed, and you're struggling with lust. Well, give me a break. Come on. The devil's a legalist. You open up the door, just a crack, and he's in there like a dirty shirt. I'm serious, okay? You're struggling with something else, okay? I'll tell you, God wants to set you free from those things. He wants you to walk in victory. Amen? Brother Pauline is going to share the word this morning, but just be aware of that, folks. We're going to pray after Pauline gives us the message, and people are going to be set free in Jesus' mighty name. Come on up, my brother. Amen.
Hallelujah. There is one word which is universal, that is the word hallelujah. I come from Indonesia, people say hallelujah. People in North America say the same thing, hallelujah. In fact, that word comes from two roots, which is halle and yah. Halle means praise. And Yah means Yahweh, or Jehovah. So all praise be to our living God, Yahweh, or Jehovah. Thank you for the worship team that has paved the way for the Word of God to be given to us today. I'm not going to give something new. In fact, the Word of God is eternal. It is never obsolete, and it is going to be up to date all the time. So do not expect, brothers and sisters, that you are going to hear something new today, but the same words the same phrases, the same sentences, or the same verses, I pray that God will use them to your heart that you may hear the rhema from the Word of God. I'm so glad that my wife is here with me. She has come all the way from Ontario. And God willing that in the days to come, God will give her a work so that she doesn't come back to Ontario. God is very good. We acknowledge that every day. And even today, His goodness is among the people in this church. And the text that I'm going to read to you today is taken from Psalm 46. So if you have your Bible, there are only 11 verses in this chapter. So if our brother can put that in the screen, those verses, it would be good. And if you agree to my proposal, we will read the verses responsively. I'll read the first verse, and then you will read the next verse until we finish up to the end, verse 11. If we have our facility on the system to put up those 11 verses, and if you don't, maybe we'll just read many different versions from our Bible. It doesn't matter. God understands. Okay, so let's open our Bible to Psalm 46. I'll start reading from verse 1. And if you speak up your voice when reading this, it would be marvelous. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Because of different translations, some is shorter and the other is longer. Never mind. Verse 3, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, Selah. Five, God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let us pray. Father God, your word is living. We do not want your word only speaks to our mind, but more importantly, to our inner man, to our inner being. So Holy Spirit, you have a free reign to speak to us today. We open our mind, we open our hearts. Take your way. Speak to us, speak to your people. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, our Lord. Amen. I like this chapter. I like this Word of God because the Word of God is true. It does what it says. And this chapter if you see the description here, it uses the apocalyptic things, the things that will take place in the end times, to describe a crisis. I don't know, you might be in a personal crisis or a situation which you think may be beyond repair today. But God is wonderful. He is powerful. And if you read again in verse 2, therefore we will not fear. But I clearly keep saying over and over again, fear, 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 fear is the enemy. The enemy will inject fear to you so that you will be paralyzed and your faith will not work. But this verse says, therefore we will not fear though the earth give way. At the end of time, the Bible says, the earth will give away when the Son of Man comes again. So we better be prepared for such a day. And verse 3 says, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountain quake with their surging. If you remember what the Bible says in Matthew 24, that chapter gives a description about things to come. Nation will rise against nations. Wars will take place everywhere. Little wars, big wars, global wars, personal wars in family, in community, until the Prince of Peace will come again. And verse 6 says, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. While God is sovereign, even though nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, but God lifts his voice and the earth melts. No nation can stand against the power of God. If you see this as a nation, if you see the nation of Israel, I think this is also true as a description that is going to happen in Israel. Even though the whole world joined forces to attack Israel, but there is a defender. The Lord will speak. Because he has put his name on that nation. Yes. He'll honor his name on that nation of Israel. Nations are in uproar, but kingdoms will fall. So there is some kind of immunity if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may see wars taking place. You may see problems coming into your life. But if you have the power of God working in your life, you can see and you can hear. I think it is in verse 10, the same words, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. At least there are seven phrases, if you notice them, in this passage that describe about God. He's our refuge, he's our strength, he's our ever-present help in trouble. I love this phrase. He's ever-present. He's never past. So if you have a timeline, it's not really a timeline. If you have the eternity, he's in the eternity present. So if he was good in the past, if he was powerful in the past to save his people of Israel, to take them from the bondage of Egypt, he can do the same thing today because our God is ever-present help even right now. even though in this passage these promises are meant for Israel as a nation, but as an individual, as a church, this is also applicable to me and applicable to you personally. That's the good news. I know there are so many forces threatening life in the family, threatening community, threatening churches today, the forces of evil, just like described in this text. So again, verse 3, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with surging. And 5 and 6 say, God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. So it is not because of your own ability, not because of your own power, that you are not finished. The answer, the Bible says, is because God is within you. That's why you will not have to fear. You will not fear. God is within her. Well, Colossians 1:27 says, Christ is in me. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. We need to remember this. We need to put our faith on this verse that God, in the person of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, is in you. There might be several crises in your life taking place today. But 1 John 4:4 says, just like Pastor Alvin says, let me show you the greater power. That is the power of the living God. Because that verse, John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if you are in a crisis, how do you respond to that crisis? Do you respond like the psalmist here? Do you put your whole trust and faith in God? Do you remember that God is in you, working to make all things work together for your own good? As long as you are in the Lord and as long as you love God. What is your fortress? Who is your fortress? Jesus. Amen. Jesus is our fortress. A mighty fortress is he. And how is he a fortress to you? Have you experienced the reality of that? Fortress in your life, physically, spiritually. As I said over and over, you might be in a situation today that you need a special protection. Just like Israel, the whole world are trying to annihilate that nation, but God is the fortress for that nation. And you are a chosen generation. You are the people of God. He'll give you a special protection. Just like the psalmist here, you can recite your many, many problems to your friends or even to your confidants. But I will urge you to recite your trouble, your problems to the Lord. And you will hear him say again, like in verse 10 says, my son, my daughter, listen to me. Be still and know that I'm God. In the midst of all your troubles, pain, suffering, know that I'm God. So let me just show you some of the things that I prepare on the PowerPoints here. Here in this text, we see that Jacob was the character, and God is described here as the God of Jacob. Of course, in the Bible, we see that God is described by many, many names. At one time, he was described as Jehovah or Yahweh Shammah. Yahweh Shammah, that's not his personal name, but that is a name which is attached to God, to the Lord, as a description of his character. Yes. Shammah means, I'm here. I'm here. I'm not deserting you. I'm not forsaking you. Right. You think you are all alone in this life, even though problems coming into your life. Don't fear. I'm here. Amen. Jehovah Shammah. Yahweh Shammah, meaning I'm here. Matthew 28, verse 20 says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you until the end of the age. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 15, there is a description there about a woman who gave a birth to a child. That verse says, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yeah, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Glory to God. You are in his mind all the time. He never forgets you. He never forgets me. So in summary, even though sometimes he'll forget God, thank God you are here on Sunday morning worshiping God. You remember him. You devote your time to him. But we have to admit that sometimes we forget God. We are occupied with too many things in this life. But remember, we are the ones that forsake God. He never forsakes you. Never. The other description or the other name that describes the character of God is Jehovah or Yahweh Shalom. Too many people are perplexed, distressed nowadays. We have our technology. We think that our science and technology will make our life more peaceful, but it is the reverse. It gives vacuum in our heart. Only God can give peace, can give shalom to our life, because he declares his name as Yahweh Shalom. The Bible says, God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Do you have your mind stayed on God? Do you trust him? You will experience perfect peace beyond your own natural thinking. If you put your trust in him, if you stay on God. In the Old Testament, a man by the name of Gideon, a general, taken from the weak situation, he saw himself as being helpless, could not lead the nation to war against the Midianites, but God showed himself to him as a powerful one, and he had that peace in his heart, and he built an altar. And in the book of Judges 6, verse 24, it says, Gideon built an altar and called it, "The Lord is Peace." There is an illustration about a brother who always recites that verse. And he had a friend, an ungodly friend. So this Christian brother, every time he recites that verse, this ungodly friend of his is very much disturbed. At one time he said, "Never, never recite that verse in my ear. I do not want to hear that," he said. He's a pharmacist. One afternoon, he was in his pharmacy, and then a little girl ran to his shop because her mom was sick. She wanted to buy medicine. And this pharmacist was, I don't know, maybe because the customers were too few, he fell asleep. So when the little girl arrived, asking to buy for medicine, he suddenly wake up and then he just grabbed the bottle that he first saw and he gave it after he received the money, he gave it to that little girl. That little girl ran home, but when he ran home, she fell and that bottle was broken. And then she ran back after a few minutes before she reached back the pharmacist. That pharmacist realized that he had given the wrong bottle containing poison. And he realized he didn't know the girl, he didn't know where she lived, and fear came into his heart. He was in big trouble. And then at that time, he remembered his Christian friend. He remembered for the first time to cry out to God, to pray to God, that whenever there was a trouble, you better pray and cry out to God, and he'll give you peace beyond your own understanding. That's what he remembered. So that little girl appeared in front of him again, saying, and while crying, she explained the situation. She had broken the bottle. And then you can imagine the relief of sigh in this man. I think the lesson that we learn from this is that if we put our trust in God, we'll experience peace. The third one is the name of God, which is Jehovah Nissi. Nissi is the same thing as like banner. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my victor. Over and over, I heard that word today, that we are in the sign of victory because Jesus Christ has given us victory when he raised from the dead, when he conquered sin, death, and suffering. Yes. And he has put you into his marvelous kingdom, the kingdom of life, yes, the kingdom of peace, the kingdom, yes, of glory.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Can you imagine that over you there is a banner that says, "Jehovah is your banner." And the whole kingdom of darkness can see that, and he cannot defeat you. Because you are on the victory side. The Lord is my victor. The Lord is my banner. In the book of Exodus, Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." You better build this altar in your life, in your family, so that you can walk not like a defeated chicken or defeated person, but you can walk with faith in your life, not because you are strong, but because God is powerful and strong in your life. We are in the victory side. He is our victor. Remember, little children, that's what is written in 1 John 4:4. God has overcome your enemies, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There is no problem, there is no fear, there is no situation that is beyond repair, that is beyond the working, that is beyond the touch of God. The next name is Yahweh, Rapha. Rapha means healer. The Lord who heals, the Lord is the healer. In fact, God declares himself to the people of Israel when they were taken out from Egypt to the promised land. God declares himself as God the healer to those people. The Bible says no one, no single person in the Israelites were weak or sick. No doctors, no nurses. But God is the healer for them. And God never changes. We thank God for all the medical assistance, for all the doctors and nurses that are available today. But we better go to God first. We better put our trust and faith that God is our healer. He is our maker. If He creates your soul, He is also the creator of your body. If He could heal the sin that is affecting your soul or your spirit, He could also heal the ailments or the sickness affecting our physical body. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And remember the Isaiah chapter 53? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So look at the cross again. The Son of God was hanging there. God took your curses and put it on the person of Jesus hanging on the cross. God took your sicknesses, whatever it is, and put it on the person of Jesus hanging on the cross. God took everything that you think that you could not get rid of. Addiction, problems, whatever it is, you name it, God took them and put it on the person of Jesus hanging on the cross. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 103, verse 2 until 3 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." So he kind of talks to himself. Praise the Lord. Do you talk to yourself? Not because you are going insane, but it is a healthy thing to talk to yourself. Provoke your spirit. You see, we have three layers: our physical body, our mind or our soul, and then our spirit. The middle guy, which is our mind, that is the one talking here to the spirit. Many times our spirit is like dormant, and it needs to be provoked by our own soul or our own mind. That's why the psalmist here says, "Forget not." Or let me say that again. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." There are too many Christians nowadays forget the benefits of the cross. Forget the benefits because of the death of Jesus on the cross. Forget the benefits that God has given into their life. Never forget the benefits of the Lord. Especially those two things. He has forgiven all your sins. Is my Bible wrong? No. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, I'm washed clean. He has forgiven all your sins, and he has healed all your diseases. Never say yes to the devil that says, that sends or gives symptoms into your soul or symptoms into your body. Say and declare and decree in front of the enemy that you are saved, you are healed by the stripes of God, by the stripes of Jesus. Now let me go back to my PowerPoints again. Here in this passage, we see that Elijah addressed God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Let me read to you from 1 Kings. Quickly now, I'll read from 1 Kings chapter 18. And starting from verse 36. 1 Kings 18, starting from 36. At a time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. It used to be the name Jacob, but then changed by God, because the connotation of Jacob is a crook, sinner, good for nothing. But God touched him, and then he got a new name, Israel. So, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I'm your servant and have done all these things at your command. 37, answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood and the stones and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. I like this kind of prayer. When believers pray, fire fall down. Whatever garbage, whatever rubbish there are in our life, if the fire of God falls down, it'll be annihilated. So do you address God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Israel in your prayer? It's a very short prayer, I notice here. Short it may be, but fire fell. Spirit came down. God manifested. That is the true prayer of a believer. God has promised that when you pray, he'll answer from heaven if you pray in faith. It would be vain repetition. You pray, but no answer. I used to live in a country where people pray, the majority, I'm not mocking them, the majority of the people there, almost
200 million. They pray to their God, but no fire comes. But a Christian is supposed to pray to God, the living God, who promised to answer prayers, and that fire should come. Let's have this faith in God. I love the way the Sunday evening circle. There is a group of people praying here at 6 o'clock. Every time I finish with our brothers and sisters praying, I always feel refreshed. Why was that? Not because of my own personal subjective feeling, but I strongly believe because the fire of God falls when people pray to God. What does God call himself in Exodus 3, verse 14? God said to Moses, I am that I am. It's not I was that I was. So it is right now. The present eternity of God, his love, his saving power, his sustaining grace, it works right now. Christianity is not just past history, but it should be an experience when we live here and now. I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. There are several verses that I want to read to you. Revelation 1:8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord. The first one, yes, thank you. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And Revelation 22, verse 13. My dear brothers and sisters, I have several things to say, but in the interest of limited time, so that we have time to pray today, just remember this. If God has shown himself as the protector for the people of Israel, he is the same reality to the church today, and the church is you. I want you to hear the Spirit of God saying to your soul, to your spirit, be still and know that I am God. You might be in a very distressed situation, difficult problem. You think you cannot get rid of your own predicament. But God keeps saying to each one of us, be still and know that I am God. I don't know if Pastor Alvin will ask the people to come forward to be prayed for. The leaders will pray for you, will pray for you, will pray for each other. God is here.
Amen.
God is here to bless and to heal and to restore.
Amen.
God bless you
all. Amen. I'd like to call Tim and Barb up to come pray. Kelly, just want to come up. Some of you folks, you need some prayer over you. You've been going through some things, and the enemy's been harassing you, you know, putting you under his foot, squishing you out type thing. But God wants to set you free. There may be a need here today, like you need to recommit your life to the Lord, which here's an opportunity. You know, if you've been walking away from God, here's an opportunity to walk towards him. Amen? So that. altar is open here for you folks to come. We're going to listen to Rob here and just be obedient to what the Spirit of God has to say to you. Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Do that again.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. The
Thank you, Lord.